Okay, amazing. Okay, Erev Tov, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to introduce myself. My name is Do Fink, and it's a real pleasure to be learning together with you. I'm the rabbinic intern this year at the Young Israel, and it's really a pleasure to receive such a warm welcome from everyone. Of course, the learning we do tonight should be as close for the Refuah Shalema for all of the Cholim and the community. They should have a Refuah HaNefesh and a Refuah HaGuf. So, we all know that me is a name that I call myself. But of course we know that a name is so much more than that. And there are a number of times in the Torah that the idea of names keeps appearing. The first one, really the second one, is actually in this coming week's Parsha. Parsha's Lech Lecha, when Avram Avinu's name is changed. Avram Avinu's name is changed from Avram to the name Avraham. And when we look later in the Torah, we also have, not only that, not only Avram's name is changed, but Sarah's name is changed as well, from Sarai to Sarah. And as you go later into Parshas Bereishis, we also have Yaakov Avinu's name is changed after his fight with the Malach of Esav, and his name is changed, is really added, his name is added, the Yisrael is added to his name. And then finally, we also have the idea of Yeshua's name being changed as well, that when the Meraglim are being sent out, the Torah tells us all of their names. And the Torah tells us that Yeshua's name originally was changed by Moshe Rabbeinu to be Yehoshua. Rashi tells us that Kol Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim, that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that what was going to happen with the spies entering into the land of Israel was not going to be such a positive report. And therefore, he gave Yeshua a special name to try to save him from that which the Meraglim were planning. I think, well, first let's actually focus on what I skipped, which is the first time that this concept of names appears in the Torah. And that is in the first parsha in the Torah, Parshas Bereishis, that the Torah talks about the creation of Adam. And as the Torah talks about the creation of Adam, it says that Hashem brought all of the animals before Adam Harishon, Liros Mayikra Lo, to see what Adam Harishon would call the different animals. Vayikra ha'adam shemos l'chol ha'behema l'of ha'shamayim l'chol chayas ha'sadeh. That Adam sees all of these animals coming before him and he calls all of them a name. L'chol chayas ha'of ha'shamayim, all the behemos, all of the animals on the ground, all of the birds in the sky, and he calls all of them a name. There's a fascinating medrash that tells us about how when Hashem decided that he was going to be creating the world, and that specifically when he was going to create man, that Hashem, so to speak, consulted together with the Malachim. And the Malachim, the angels, responded to Hashem, and they said, Ma enosh kisis karenu. What's so special about man that you should even be mentioning him, that you should even be creating him? What is so important about him? And Hashem gave him a fascinating response, and I just found this medrash. It's really fascinating. It's a medrash in Bereishis, and Bamidbar Rabbah, the Torah says, Vayechkem mikol ha'adam, that he was wiser than all men. What does this mean? Adam harishon. That this refers to Adam harishon. Ma haisa chachmaso. What was his wisdom? That the Medrash says that when Hashem came to create man, nimlach b'malchei asharis, he decided to consult with the malchei asharis, amar lahem, and he said to them, Nasa adam mitzalmenu, let us make man in our image. And they said to him, the Malachim responded, Ma enosh kisis karenu, what's so special about man that we're talking about him? And Amar Le, Hashem gives him a fascinating response. Adam shani rotza livros chachmaso meruba shalachem. That this man that I am going to create is in fact wiser than you, you the angels. Because you, says Hashem, you don't know how to call something a name. But Adam, that I am going to create, he knows how to call them a name. And that's exactly what the Medrash continues to describe, what we just read from Bereishis, that Hashem takes the angels and presents them and brings them to Adam Arishon and shows them Adam Arishon calling all of the animals a name. So I think there's something very deep behind this Medrash, that there's something uniquely human to look at another item, another object, and especially another human, and be able to perceive something about them that they're able to detect what their name is. We're all familiar with the idea that when parents name their child, There's a special Ruach HaKodesh. There's some special divine insight that they receive about who this child is going to be, what they're going to become, and somehow they're inspired by that to give them the name, to give them the name that they do. And that is the idea that this Medrash perhaps is telling us, that that's a character that's uniquely human, it's unique to people, that we have the unique insight to be able to see something, see someone else, and be able to perceive that special name that is within that person. But what's in a name? What's so special about a name? The Mechtav Me'aliyah has a beautiful piece of Dessler where he develops the idea, and the Nefesh HaChaim addresses this as well, that a name is not just what I call myself, but a name in some way, as we've already touched upon, a name in some way reflects the essence of who a person is, reflects what's really inside, reflects what perhaps we could call my tafkid in life, my purpose in life, the unique light of Hashem that is going to be revealed through me, perhaps in some way, is incorporated in my name. The Mechtav Me'aliyah gives a pshat on this week's parsha, when Avram Avinu's name was changed. Let's reflect on it. Avram's name originally was Avram. What is it about Avram? What does Avram tell us about who he was and what he was meant to be? The Mechtav Me'aliyah says that Avram's tafkid, his purpose originally, was just to be the father of Aram Naharaim, where he originally lived. Almost as if he was supposed to be the Rav of the town. He was supposed to be the one who was supposed to provide guidance, inspiration to those around him, but just for his specific, unique town. And explains Rav Dessler, his name is changed to Avraham, because he grew out of that original tafka that he once had. That original purpose, that original goal of just inspiring those in his immediate vicinity to becoming Avraham, to becoming an Av Hamon Gayim, to being not just a father, not just a light and a guide to those in his immediate vicinity, but to being a source of inspiration and guidance for the entire world. Av Hamon Gayim, a father of multitudes of nations. Rav Dessler says that this was Avram Avinu going through that transformation where his tafkid in life, his purpose in a way, changed and transformed and transitioned into being someone who was local and to being someone whose influence was going to expand well beyond his immediate vicinity. The Mechtav Eliyahu has earlier in the same piece, it's a beautiful idea. Let's reflect on this for a moment. What does it mean to have a purpose in life? What does it mean that there's a special light in the world that could be revealed through me that doesn't have the ability to be revealed through anyone else? And as we're discussing tonight, somehow perhaps that's incorporated or reflected to or hinted to in my own name. The Mechtav Me'aliyahu explains with a very powerful mashal. He says that you could take two people who are exactly identical. They're both equal tzaddikim, equally righteous. They both are equally dedicated to their studies. They learn Torah as much as they can. Not only that, they both focus on their davening. They continue to have kavana as much as they can, and they're really, from the outside, they seem to be exactly equal. And not only that, both of them, says the Mechtav Me'aliyahu in this mashal, are both very, very poor. They don't have a lot of financial backing. They don't have so many resources. And both of them daven to Hashem for a long time. That Hashem, I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm doing your mitzvos. I'm learning your Torah, and I'm davening to you each day. But Hashem, please give me some parnasa. Please give me some financial support. Please help me out. And both of them continue to daven with the same level of intensity, the same level of focus for a very long time. Mechtav Me'aliyahu says that Hashem might answer one of them and make one of them rich, give them a lot of money, but the other one he will keep in their current financial state. Why should that be true? Both of them are equal, we mentioned. Both of them are both equally righteous. They're both equally focused on their davening. Why would Hashem answer one and not answer the other? Explains the Mechtav Me'aliyahu, because we all have unique tafkid. And the tafkid of person number one, we'll call him Reuven, was not the tafkid of Shimon. Because in our example, Reuven, who Hashem answered and made him wealthy, his tafkid, his purpose, we'll call it the light of Hashem that he was meant to reveal in this world, is that you have the ability to be a good Eved Hashem both when you don't have money and also when you do. They're able to be an Eved Hashem in both of those situations. And the other one, what about Shimon? Shimon, who Hashem didn't answer, explains the Mechel Eliyahu that for him, his tafkid in life, the light of Hashem that he was meant to reveal, is that a person could spend their entire life without having adequate financial support and nevertheless not lose their faith, not lose their commitment, not lose their dedication, their focus on their davening and their learning and their commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the light that was meant to be revealed through the second person, but not through the first person. A very powerful message of what it means to have a tafkid in this world, to have a specific purpose, a specific goal, a specific light of Hashem, that Hashem is giving a certain light through me that is only have the that only has the ability to be revealed through me and no one else. And as we're mentioning, there's so much incorporated within the name that somehow the name reflects the essence. Let's take a look at the Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim, at the end of the Nefesh HaChaim, he has Likutei Ma'amarim. He has a collection of different essays. And in the following essay, in Essay Yodala, the 14th, one of these essays, he writes, the topic is discussing what was different about Moshe Rabbeinu as opposed to all of the other Nevi'im. He quotes the Zohar, which says that if you look in the Torah, there are some times that Hashem will call out to one of the members of the Torah, someone in the Torah, and will repeat their name. We have it by Avram. Avram, Avram. We also have it by Moshe, that Hashem repeats Moshe, Moshe, along with others. But if you notice, if you look, then the Zohar picks up on this, that when you look at the way that Avram's name appears when it is repeated, there's a little break between the two of them. There's a little line. There's a line that says Avraham, and then Avraham. The Nefesh HaChaim explains so beautifully that what are these two names? And he says that the first name, the first Avraham, reflects the person's potential, reflects how a person is, how a person, what a person could achieve from the perspective of Shemayim, from what Hashem could see. That's the potential of how much a person could fulfill all the way up on the top. The second name, Avraham, after the break, is how much the person's potential, how much of it they're fulfilling while they're here, down here, in this world. The Nefesh HaChaim explains that it's true by almost everyone that there's a break between those two names. There's a break between the first one, all the potential that we have the ability to fulfill, and he says all the potential that we actually are fulfilling. There's a study I heard a number, a while ago. I'm not sure if it's, didn't have a chance to look it up, but a study from psychologists that they studied what percentage of a person's brain they use as they go through their life. And apparently it's relatively small. It's a relatively small percentage. Even great people are accomplishing a tremendous thing. There's so much potential that we have. As individuals, collectively, there's just a tremendously significant amount of potential that we have. The Nefesh HaChaim says, you look at Moshe's name. Moshe, Moshe, there's no break. There's no line that connects the two. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, lo kam kinavi od kemoshe Rabbeinu, there never was another prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was unique in the sense that the Moshe up here and the Moshe down here matched the two each other. That his entire potential was fulfilled while he was down here in the world. And that's why Moshe, Moshe, there's no break between the first Moshe, all of that potential, what it looks like from Hashem's perspective, what he knows we could accomplish, and the second Moshe, what Moshe actually did accomplish. But I think it gives us great comfort that even Avram Avinu had a break between his first name and his second name. But I think it also gives us a tremendous amount of insight, tremendous amount of strength and chizuk, in the sense that there's so much we have the ability to accomplish, and there's so much more that we always could accomplish. Now, all of this in some way is hinted to, is reflected to in our name, which in some way reflects our essence, reflects who we are, reflects who we are meant to be, what we're supposed to become. And something that I don't think we do too often, and it's something that I never thought of until I heard this from one of my rabbeim, Rabbi Penner, who is the dean of Reitz here at Yeshiva University. He once gave a drasha, he once spoke in the main base medrash here in the yeshiva, and he was talking about a related topic about our names, and he said, how often we're told all of these concepts that we've talked about tonight, of how the name reflects our essence, or the name reflects in some way our tafkid, what we're meant to become. How often do we actually reflect on our own names? How often do we introspect through our own names and think about what our name says about who we are, what our name says about what we're doing in this world, and what our name says about how good of a job we're doing, or perhaps what more we could be doing? There's a very powerful story that I heard recently that I think brings out this idea in a very powerful way. There's a group of beggars. There were a group together in some small shtetl in Europe, and they could barely afford anything. They had nothing to eat, literally nothing to eat. But they would help each other out. They would look out for different opportunities. If any of them saw an opportunity for the rest of his friends, he would bring them together. He would show them where there would be some food that they would be able to get. And this would go on until one day there was a Rebbe that came into town. Everyone's all excited. There's a Rebbe coming to town. So the whole town comes together and everyone's cooking delicious food and kugel and chalent, and they're putting out a huge tish, this huge table with tons of food, and it looks incredible. So of course the beggars catch wind of this, and they come together. They say, we got to be there. We have to go. We have to go to the Rebbe. We have to go to his tish. So they go together and they go to the Rebbe's tish, and it's beautiful. It's incredible. And they eat like kings, and they eat to their heart's content. And afterwards, as they're leaving, one of them, who's a little wise, you know, a little clever, so he turns to the other ones and he says, you know, I have an idea. Why don't we become a Rebbe? He says, well, one of the guys had, you know, he had like a nice beard. He was a little bit taller, maybe. He looked a little bit regal. He says, well, I'll chip in. We'll get what we have. And we'll come together and we'll buy him a nice big shtreimel, a nice long kapata, like we'll really dress him up to look like a Rebbe. We'll be his chassidim, you know, we'll be his gabayim, we'll serve him, you know, we'll take care of him. And we'll go out to different towns, we'll send the message, the Rebbe's coming, the Rebbe's coming, and this is what's going to happen. They're going to make a big, beautiful meal for us, and we'll come in, and we'll sing with them, and it will be beautiful, and we'll get some beautiful food out of it, and we'll be able to support ourselves this way. And so they do. They dress him up. He looks incredible. He looks the part. It's incredible. They send out the message. They figure out, wait, we need a name. What's our name going to be? We need a name for the Rebbe, and the Rebbe's got to have a name. So they say, let's think something. The Chick of a Rebbe. The Chick of a Rebbe. Okay, they came with a name. The Chick of a Rebbe. Okay. So they send out the message to the town. The Chick of a Rebbe is coming. The Chick of a Rebbe is coming. People are, they're getting excited. I've never heard of the Chick of a Rebbe, one of them says. Who's the Chick of a Rebbe? He says, oh, it's the Alter Chick of a Rebbe's Einokol, it's his grandson. Oh, okay, it's his grandson, okay, they say it's fine. So they're getting excited, the town's getting all, the first town they're coming to, they're all getting together, and they're cooking, and they're setting out the tish, it's all going to be amazing. And they come into town, and they sit down at the table, the plan works beautifully. They sit there, they sing a little bit, they talk a little bit, and it's beautiful, they have plenty of food to eat. And again, they eat like kings. So this is pretty good. So they do the same thing for town number two. Same thing, town number two. Baruch Hashem, everything is going amazing. Business is booming. People are coming. They're asking for brachos. They're giving a little bit money for the brachos. And it's working out pretty well. This looks great. And they go to the third town. And by now, you know, people are starting to catch on. They're so excited. You know, the Chick of a Rebbe is coming. He's going to all these different towns. People are so excited. They come to the third town and they come into the room. And there are hundreds of people packed into the room. And again, it's beautiful. They're singing. The Rebbe is sitting at the head of the table. And his eyes are closed. And he's shuckling. And he's eating. And it's incredible. The other chassidim, they're eating. And it's working out pretty well. Until all of a sudden, the door in the back of the room swings open. And in bursts a woman with tears covering her entire face. And the room splits, and she runs right up to the Rebbe. She falls on her face, and she says, Rebbe, Rebbe, my baby daughter, she's really not well. And the doctor said she only has just a very short time to live. But you're the holy Chick of a Rebbe. Could you please help me? Can you please daven for me? Please. You're my only hope. And the Hasidim, when they see this, the Hasidim, you know, the fake Abayim sitting around, you could imagine their jaw drops, their stomach, you know, who knows? And they're like, this is not part of the plan. Like, what's going on? So they all look to the Rebbe, who, of course, is also a little bit taken aback. And you could see it in his face. He turns white. He takes a deep breath. He looks to his right. He looks to his left. He says, let's go. He turns to the Hasidim, who are sitting around him, and he brings them to this woman's house, and he walks into the house, and you could see the baby girl sitting there in the corner, and there's barely any color in her face. It really does not look good. The father, he could barely, he's walk, pacing back and forth, could barely, doesn't know what to do with himself. And the Rebbe assesses the situation, and he says, bring me a Tehillim. So they bring a Tehillim. The Rebbe goes into a side room by himself, and he's there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, 3 hours, finally 3 or 4 hours. The Rebbe comes out. His entire shirt is drenched with tears. Every single page of the Tehillim, drenched with tears. And they look over at the little baby girl, and they see that some color has begun to come back into her face. And they turn to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, I think she's going to be okay. And she was. And the story goes that this fake Rebbe, this chick of a Rebbe, went on to become an incredibly inspiring person who had an incredible koach hatfilah that he never knew he had before. Because all of a sudden, he was called the chick of a Rebbe. Now, us in our own lives, I don't think any of us are calling any of us a Rebbe. But they are calling us by our names. And they are calling us something that in our name reveals something incredibly special about us. A very special light that Hashem entrusted within us to reveal to the world. That idea that the Michtam Me'aliyahu said that there could be two people who from the outside look identical. And we wonder why one person is given a certain set of circumstances and the other one is not. And as the Michtam Me'aliyahu says, it's because they're different and they're here for different reasons. And they can't replace each other. And each one is meant to reveal their own special, unique light into this world. The same way that Avraham Avinu in this week's Parsha, his role changes from being just the Rav of his individual town, the inspiration to those locally around him, to being the inspiration, guide, and source of religious light to the entire world for all generations. The same way that Sarai's name changes to Sarah, Yaakov's name changes to Yisrael, Yeshua is given special protection through the change of his name. In the same way that our names were given to us through that divine inspiration that our parents had when they named us. That is something so beautiful that we have entrusted within us. We have a very special, unique light to reveal to the world. And may Hashem give us a bracha. May Hashem bless us with insight and clarity into what our name means to us, what our name means to the world, what that tafkid, what that goal is. Many of us are probably doing an incredible job already. But as we mentioned from the Nefesh HaChayim, Moshe, Moshe, there's always more we could do. There's always a greater light we could bring out and reveal to the world. And may Hashem give us the strength to continue to reveal that tafkid, to continue to bring it out to not those around us, Aram Narayim, in our close vicinity, to bring that out to our families and to the entire world. And may we be Zocha through our names, through that special tafkid within us, to bring out a beautiful light to the entire world. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure again to meet all of you and looking forward to continuing to learn and grow together over the future. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice message. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.